Welcome to our continued study on the book of Jeremiah. This book is a fantastic book. It covers a period from Josiah, the righteous king, until the time that Jerusalem was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. It covers a period of time from, if I could say this, the time when Israel was experiencing a great revival until the time when they went into complete apostasy. You might ask me, why am I stressing that? Well, the reason I'm stressing that is this, because so often history is a type of that which is to follow. And especially is that true when we consider Jerusalem. Jerusalem has experienced sieges in its history. But the Word of God tells us there is still one more great siege before the Lord returns on the Mount of Olives to indeed save his people, surrounded by the alien forces of the Arab world. Well, what shall we say then concerning history illustrates that which is to come? Well, the period before the fall of Jerusalem at the time of Jeremiah illustrates the last days. And so there are some very important truths that we need to consider. First of all, there was a great revival under Josiah. And then, after that, there was an apostasy, culminating in the siege and final destruction of Jerusalem. We believe the Word of God clearly states that there will be soon a very great revival whereby the power and glory of God will be manifested through his church unto all nations everywhere. But after that, the Lord specifically warns himself in Matthew chapter 24 and verses 12, 13 and 14, yes, the gospel is going to be preached to every nation with great power and glory. But also at the same time, sin will increase and the love of many shall wax cold. And so we're going to see, as we look into the book of Jeremiah, some wonderful illustrations concerning the Christian life that I hope will be a blessing to each and every one of us. But also to remember this, that the book of Jeremiah does depict the last days before the Lord returns. And in the book of Jeremiah, we see a great revival, but it's followed by apostasy. And regretfully, that is what we shall see in the last days. And so the Lord himself encourages us to endure unto the end. And he said, he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. Well, in the book of Jeremiah, along with the book of Ezekiel, because they were companion prophets, along with the prophet Daniel. Daniel and Ezekiel were prophesying in the city of Babylon. Jeremiah was in the city of Jerusalem. And you might ask, why were these two prophets in Babylon? Well, there had been three deportations. One in the time of Jehoiakim in about 606 BC. Another in the time of Jehoiachin, which was in 597 BC. And during those two deportations, Daniel was taken in the first one, and Ezekiel was taken in the second. And so those two major prophets were in actuality in the city of Babylon. Daniel was, in fact, the governor of Babylon. He obtained such favor with the king, Nebuchadnezzar. And so for a time, he was indeed the governor of Babylon. But Ezekiel prophesied and gave true warning concerning the fall, the eventual fall of Jerusalem. Jeremiah was saying the same thing. And the point that I want to bring out here, there was a great revival in the time of Josiah before these deportations, you know, started. And so it will be in the last days, a great revival followed by apostasy. But they that endure to the end shall be saved. And Ezekiel brings this out very remarkably when he speaks of the fact in Ezekiel chapter 9, before the fall, the final fall of Jerusalem, the angels who govern Jerusalem were told to put a mark on all those that mourned and sighed for the abominations that were indeed being practiced in Jerusalem and brought about indeed the destruction of the city. Well, they were to be saved. And you see, here is a type. There were those that endured to the end, and they were preserved. So with that, you know, little scenario, I want to come to one of the illustrations that Jeremiah gives concerning our own spiritual life. Now, it is very important to understand this, that in all these, shall I say, catastrophes, judgments that are taking place, God himself is very interested in forming people for eternity. And this is something that we must indeed keep our eyes upon as we consider these last days, as we consider the fact that things will get worse, much worse, in the countries of the world. All nations will suffer economic and, shall I say, national disasters and perhaps natural disasters like earthquakes and the like, the terrible typhoons and so forth. But we have to keep our eyes on what is eternal. And this is what I want to develop in this message now, that God is preparing vessels. In this time of great, shall I say, catastrophe. And so he says to Jeremiah, I want you to go down to the potter's house, and there I will speak to you. There you will hear my words. Now the potter was a very important man in those days because things were very simple. Agriculture was very simple. But the potter was one who formed the vessels. And Paul, writing to Timothy, you know, mentions these vessels of the potter by saying, you know, in a big house, there are vessels to honor and there are vessels of dishonor. We need vessels of every kind, you know, in a house. But the important factor is this. God is going to speak in this potter's house, and what he's saying is going to be very relevant indeed to each one of our lives. Because often in the Word of God, God will speak saying, look, I am the potter, you are the clay. And so it's not an academic study, but it's very relevant to our lives. Here God is going to speak through the prophet and give him an understanding in the potter's house of what he himself is doing with the nation of Israel and also individuals. Well, how does it go? He goes down to the potter's house, and there he observes the potter. The potter has some clay on his wheel, and he is forming a beautiful vessel. And suddenly, that vessel is marred in the hands of the potter. What does a potter do? Does he cast away that clay as though it's of no value whatsoever, that he cannot use it again? No. Jeremiah watches intently, and he observes the potter. And the potter is taking that same clay that he was forming a beautiful vessel from, and he is now using it to form another vessel. God says, now, Jeremiah, in my hands are the nation of Israel. They are the clay. I am the potter. I am forming them into a beautiful vessel. But through rebellion and through, indeed, many acts of disobedience, well, their vessel is marred. But I'm not going to throw them away. I'm going to make of them another vessel. Now, the purpose for us in this study is this, that it's not just Israel that God is speaking of concerning the fact that he is a potter and they are the clay. And because of their disobedience and going away from him, they have indeed become a marred vessel that cannot be used. Well, he is saying, look, I'm not going to cast you away. I want to make of you another vessel as is good in my sight. You might call it a second chance. God is saying to Israel, now I'm going to give you a second chance. You know, you were disobedient before. I had a purpose for your life. But you've ruined it. But I am going to take you up again and make you another vessel. You know, as we look into the Word of God, we find many people who indeed fell into that category. We could say King David fell into that category. Here he was, a beautiful king, prophet and priest, anointed by God, and he fell into that terrible sin of adultery. And you might say, well, as indeed the people of his day said, well, there's no help for him in God. God is finished with him. But David sought the Lord earnestly, and God took him up again and made him another vessel, a beautiful vessel. And David was completely restored. And this is what I want to encourage you with, you see, that you may have indeed been in the hand of the Lord when you were young. You may have been in Sunday school, and you may have learnt the ways of God. You may have come to a teenager where you were witnessing for God, but somehow something happened in your life and your vessel became marred. And you're saying, well, it's too bad. It's finished. I can no longer go on with God. But God says, no, I want to take you and make you another vessel, a vessel of honor in my sight. You see, as I said before, there in a great house there are vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. That is very true. But how do you want to end this life? Being a vessel of dishonor, unfit for the master's use? Or do you want to be one who has repented like the prodigal son? You know, he started off well in his father's house, but then afterwards, what happened? Well, what happened was simply this. He left his father's house. He went on his own way, and he went down and down and down into, shall I say, absolute sin, into the pit of iniquity. prostitutes and the like. But then, when he was down there, seemingly lost all, feeding on the husks that the swine were fed on, he came to his senses and he said, "Look, I will go back to my father's house, for even my father's servants are treated better than this which I'm experiencing." And he said, "I'll go back and say to my father, I have sinned, but make me one of thy hired servants." Well, when he came back to the father didn't make him one of his hired servants. He restored him to the sonship that he had known before. And this is what God wants to do, you see. You see, the prodigal son was made again. You know, there was another king by the name of Manasseh, and he was the son of a righteous king, Hezekiah. And he had known the ways of God, and he had walked when young in the ways of the Lord, but his father died. He came to the throne at the age of 12, and an inheritance that is quickly gotten is not blessed in the end. And here, this young man was influenced by evil counselors around him, and he went into idolatry. He went into adultery. He went into fornication. He went into murder, and he filled Jerusalem with the blood of the innocent people. And God, in his mercy, took him to Babylonian captivity. And there, in irons, he too came to his senses. He cried out to God for restoration. God heard his cry. You know, there's a beautiful scripture in Psalm 40 and verse 1. It comes from the lips of David when he too was in the pit of despondency, the pit of iniquity. And he said, "I waited patiently for the Lord. I cried unto him, and he heard my voice. And he lifted me up out of a horrible pit, put my feet upon a rock, established my ways, and put a new song in my heart." Oh, dear ones, you know, this vessel in the hands of the potter, that clay was not thrown away. He made it another vessel as seemed good in his sight. Well, Manasseh, you know, was heard by God. He returned to his throne, and on that throne, he started to speak to, indeed, the people over whom he reigned, and he started to turn them back into the ways of God. Well, this is what God wants to do with each one who has strayed, each son, each daughter that has strayed away. You know, I have known many who have gone astray. And one of the things I want to say, that if you do go astray, don't make decisions. Don't make major decisions in your life if you are away from God. Because if you do so, you will make so often the wrong decision. And in making the wrong decision, I want to tell you this, what will happen. That decision will remain with you for the whole of your life. And so often it's marriage. Making marriage when you're far from God. No, come back to God. And come back to God and then seek his face. And make those major decisions that are facing you. Don't make them when you're far from God. For the decisions you make, if you're far from God, will indeed stay with you and be a burden to you and a sorrow to you throughout the rest of your life. Now, Jeremiah looked, and here was the potter. He took that clay back. You know, he loved that clay. I don't know if you've met potters, but potters have a great affection for the clay that they're used. You might say, oh, well, that's just a lump of clay. Oh, no, not to the potter. It's something that he treasures. It's something that's very important to him. It's something that he's worked with. Clay is not just taken, you know, and then put on the potter's clay wheel. No. What happens is the clay is taken, and then, you know, it is seasoned. You know, it is prepared lovingly with water, and, you know, it is used in the potter's hand till he gets all the little fragments out of it. And, you know, the potter has an affection towards that clay. He is bonded to that clay. And so, in like manner, is our Heavenly Father bonded to us. He doesn't just reject us like that. But if we will cry out to him like David, cry out to him like Manasseh, cry out to him like the prodigal son, he will hear our cry. He will incline his ear, and he will indeed restore us. And oh, how wonderful the time of restoration. And as Jeremiah looked at the potter's wheel, he saw this clay, oh, this clay forming again into another vessel, another vessel. Yes, another vessel. God is a God of the second chance and sometimes third chance. But you must be careful. You know, you must come to God penitentially. You must come to God saying, look, I have sinned. I have ruined my life. Oh, I'm a vessel of dishonor. Oh, God, make me another vessel. Make me a vessel of honor, dear Lord. And as we do that, you know, God, in his infinite wisdom and knowledge and understanding, has a new plan for our life, and a plan that will take us from that pit of despondency, from, shall I say, dishonor, shame, and the like. And he will make us something beautiful in his sight. You know, another thing that the Apostle Paul stresses, and also the Lord himself through the prophets, is this. He said, look, I am the potter, you are the clay. And the Apostle Paul takes up that thought and he says this. Look, does the clay say to the potter, what have you made? No. It's the potter who determines what the clay will be. You know, we cannot say to God, oh God, you know, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? In fact, we're not even allowed to say to our parents, what have you brought forth? You see, no. We are to say, I am the clay, you are the potter. You make me what is good in your sight. And as we do that, you see, we have such peace, we have joy, that God is working in us something that is very beautiful, something that we'll realize later on, oh, what God has done for me, how he's restored me. But you know, earlier on, I said this, in the catastrophes that we're seeing in the world today, we must get our eyes on God. For he is working in our lives, he's working amongst the nations, but he's working in our own individual lives to bring forth something not just temporal, not just for this life, but he's bringing forth in us something that is eternal. You see, this life, we're told, is for 70 years, if by reason of strength, well, perhaps it'll be 80, maybe 90, but in the end, it's very short compared to eternity. And God is forming us into a vessel that is going to dwell with him in eternity. And God has a plan. You know, he makes it very clear in the Word of God that he has formed this earth not without purpose. He has caused you to be born not without purpose, but the purpose that he has for you, if you will come back to him, is eternal. He is seeking to make of you a vessel of honor that indeed will dwell in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of heaven, for eternity. And you see, that is what we have to keep in mind, that we are eternal. We either spend our eternity in the terrors of hell or in the pleasures of heaven. You know, God wants to make you, wants to make me, a vessel of honor. Let him make us that vessel of honor. Let us yield to his gentle pressures of those fingers of his as he molds us and makes us into that which he has planned for us even before the foundation of the world. And so I want to encourage you. You know, Jeremiah went to the potter's house and he learnt this. The clay that the potter was using to form a vessel of honor was marred in his hands. He didn't throw it away. He made of it another vessel. And that's what God wants to do with you, to make you another vessel, a vessel of honor that will dwell with him eternally. God bless you.